Let us pray. God of love, your word is made flesh, your law fulfilled, and the prophets revealed in Christ. Your light shines among us. Speak, for we are listening. Amen. A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of life. A reading from 2 Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to pay attention to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel in the 17th chapter. 6 days later, Jesus went up a high mountain and took Peter with him and James and his brother John. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun and his clothes became dazzling white. And there appeared Moses and Elijah with him, talking with him. When they saw this, Peter said, "Lord, it's a good thing we're here. If you want, I could build three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." But while he was still talking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my own, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And where they heard this, they were struck with fear and they fell on their faces. Jesus came to them and touched them and said, "Get up, don't be afraid." When they got up and looked around, they saw no one but Jesus alone. On the way down from the mountain, Jesus told them strictly not to tell anybody about this vision until after the human one had been raised from the dead. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of a tough story to take full blast because it's such an over-the-top, in-your-face story with all these supernatural special effects, the lights, the voices, the cloud, "This is my Son." It just seems a little too much. It seems like Matthew bragging about Jesus. It's sort of like the church saying, here's our Messiah. Isn't he cool? You ought to believe in him. Well, that's not actually what it's all about. St. Matthew's Church was named for this person that we don't know, who we call Matthew, who wrote that story. It had been passed on to him for a long time. He wrote it for his church some 50 years after Jesus lived. And in those 50 years, some things had changed. That church was up against some really bewildering changes and challenges. They had all grown up, most of them, grown up Jewish. And now they were in this world in which they had to bear the gospel to most people who believed all sorts of stuff, and the largest group of them believed nothing in particular. And so they had to somehow get beyond their Jewishness. And the world had changed. The temple, that great building that had meant so much to them, that they thought of as eternal, that represented so much that they believed in and trusted, had fallen. And they had some questions about God's place and power in the world. And they were being persecuted. They were being kicked out of synagogues and persecuted by the Romans. And they had a lot of questions about what it means to follow this Jesus guy and what it means to live our lives in this way that we call the Christian way. And personally, of course, they were facing all these struggles because they were being persecuted and because they had to either bring the gospel to people who didn't get it or else not survive as a church. Matthew knew that his people were being called down into the valley of the shadow of death. If they were really going to follow those teachings, those crazy teachings about forgiving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you and standing up for justice on behalf of the poor and oppressed, they were going to need somebody along on that journey who knew the way through that dark valley. They were going to need somebody who had light in the darkness. They were going to need somebody who knew how to face death. They were going to need Jesus. So Matthew gives them Jesus. He knows that they'll make it through the valley over to the other side, but they don't know that yet. They don't even know the valley's coming yet. But Matthew shows them this before it even comes, because Jesus did. Jesus knew that he was calling his disciples to go into the valley of the shadow of death before they even got it. And in this moment, before they even realize that the crucifixion is really coming, he already is promising resurrection. That's the light with which Jesus shined. It's not just the light of the spotlight on Jesus because he's just won the Academy Award for Best Leading Messiah. The light is the light of the law and the word of God, Moses and Elijah, thousands of years of wisdom that have been tried and distilled and proven. This is the word of God. You're going to need that. And you're going to need the light of somebody who has faced death and can walk with you through that journey. You're going to need that light. It's the light of Jesus' calling. That word that comes out of the cloud, this is my beloved with whom I am well pleased. Those were the words of Jesus' baptism. Jesus is affirming his calling. And he comes barreling out of the desert after his temptations and quotes Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. This is the light in which God says, that's right, that's what I'm doing. And it's the light of resurrection. Jesus isn't just shining with his nice guyness. He's shining with the light of Easter morning. He's standing there talking with Moses and Elijah who are supposed to be dead. And he's talking with them. Because the day is going to come when Jesus is supposed to be dead. But he's talking with the disciples. It's a glimpse of the resurrection before they even know the crucifixion is coming. So Matthew gives his church that same glimpse of that light that they're going to need before they head down into that dark valley. St. Matthew had another church, still does. this St. Matthew's Church in Acton in 2014, some 50 years after this church was founded, and in those 50 years, a lot has changed. The Twin Towers, those great buildings that we thought were eternal, that represented so much of what we believed in and trusted, they've fallen. And it's raised a lot of questions about God's place and God's power in the world. And the wars that came after that have got the world wondering how we should proceed. And things have changed in this church. Most of us grew up Christian. And we are now heading out into a world in which people believe all sorts of stuff. And the largest single bunch of them believe in nothing in particular. They are the people to whom we have to take the gospel if this church will survive. Or will die. And that's a new challenge for us. If we're going to do that, we're going to need something more than a different flavor of nothing in particular. We're going to need something in particular. We're going to need a pretty distinctive set of teachings. We're going to need Jesus. And that's why God says, listen to him. We're going to face some challenges and some changes. We are $70,000 off from our budget. Today is Commitment Sunday. We're going to see how close we can get with a second try, a second mile, to see if we can get close to that. Either way, this is going to be hard. We're going to either have to dig a lot deeper and give a lot more sacrificially so that it actually hurts, or else we're not going to be able to do what we hope to do in that budget, in which case things are going to kind of fall apart here and there, and it's going to hurt. Either way, it's going to hurt. There's no easy way out of this. We are going down into some kind of valley of the shadow of death. We're going to need somebody who's got some light. Matthew is not bragging about Jesus. He's saying to us, you're going to need Jesus. Here he is. Listen to him. If we're going to follow the teachings that we call the teachings of Christianity, all this crazy stuff about forgiving your enemies and being gentle people amidst violence, if we're going to actually stand up for justice in a world that is full of oppression, of war and poverty and human trafficking and racism and all sorts of kinds of hate and division, if we're going to walk into that with any kind of healing energy, we are going to need to trust the light of resurrection. Did you notice how the story began peculiarly enough with those words, 6 days later? When you heard that, I hope you were a little curious and you wondered, well, what happened 6 days earlier? What happened 6 days earlier was that Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem and the people in power are going to kill me. But I will be raised from the dead. And the disciples thought that was preposterous. Peter said, no, we're not going to listen to that kind of malarkey. No, that's not going to happen. 6 days later, God chimes in and says, he's right. Listen to him. The Transfiguration is not just a story of how cool Jesus is. It's a story about how important the journey is that he's calling us to, which is a journey of death and resurrection. And God is calling us on that journey and saying, it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to get harder before it gets easy. You are going to need Jesus. But I'm giving you Jesus. Listen to him. You're getting old. Even you, Rebecca. Even you, Magdalena, you're going to die. And on Wednesday, I'm going to remind you of that. One by one, you're going to come up here and I'm going to smudge your foreheads with a cross of ashes. And I'm going to swallow hard and I'm going to look you in the eye and say, remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And you already know that because you've already lost people that you love. And you know that sooner or later you're going to lose the life that you love. You are going to need somebody who knows the way. You're going to need somebody who knows how to face death and walk right through it. You're going to need somebody who knows how to give your life and not be afraid. You are so totally going to need Jesus. The trick is you have to listen to him. That's what that voice in the cloud says. This is my beloved. Listen to him. You're going to have to read those scriptures and hear what Jesus said. You're going to have to watch those stories. See how Jesus behaved. You're going to have to follow him. You're going to have to watch his every move and learn how to do that crazy stuff. And you're going to have to listen in your own heart. You're going to have to listen for the voice of Jesus that calls you without words. It's not going to be that easy. It's going to take deep, deep listening. Not because you ought to believe in this really splendid Jesus. You're going into a place where you're going to meet Jesus. And you got him. In all his risen glory, you got him. Just need to listen. So this Lent, we're going to pray that Jesus will help us listen. We're going to pray, all of us, with a breath prayer. Breath prayer is a really simple prayer. It's an ancient tradition. A little two-part prayer that's as simple as breathing in and breathing out. And it's that simple partly so that you can carry it with you during the day and pray it all day long. The two parts of the prayer are that we cry out to God and we ask for something. It's that simple. You name God. You name some way in which you are open to encountering God. And sometimes you just say God. Sometimes you might say love or creator or Lord of life or whatever kind of image or name is that one that we're reaching out to. And then we open our arms and we ask for something. Help us. So this Lent, we're all going to pray this simple prayer. Jesus, help us listen. Jesus, help us listen. We're going to share in that prayer many times in worship and in other settings. You'll hear it all through Lent. Because you're going to need Jesus. So listen. Will you pray with me? We'll pray three times. Jesus, help us listen. Jesus, help us listen. Jesus, help us listen. God of grace, we thank you for your word made flesh in Christ. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.